This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to the Insight Podcast. I'm Chris Forbes, your host. We have today a conversation with two of our great BCM directors. We have Ronnie Payne and Bryce Stafford. Ronnie is coming from Northwest Oklahoma State University, and Bryce is from Northeastern State University in Tahlequah. So it's sort of Northeast meets Northwest. We're going to go head to head and talk about the Baptist Collegiate Ministry on their campuses. Welcome to the podcast, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Well, we've continuing our series, and we're talking about the BCM ministries. And, you know, BCM is one of the key ministries that we've found that leads people to in-depth discipleship. It leads them to the Lord. It leads them to discipleship. It leads them to discern their calling to missions. It leads them to discern their ministry in church as laymen and leaders, and even a ministry staff. So BCM is such an important integral part of everything that we do. Wanted to share with everybody. But before we get started in the nuts and bolts of your ministries, can you introduce yourselves and tell a little bit about how you got into ministry at BCM?
Sure. Ronnie, if you don't mind, I'll go first. I'm a first generation follower of Christ, and I don't have a whole lot of influence in my life until I came to college. And that happened whenever I came to Northeastern State University, and a good friend of mine introduced me to the BCM directors at the time, Bob and Debbie Lipscomb. I know many people out there might remember their names. And that is really where I began to grow in my walk and my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and really just surrendered to this idea of following Him no matter where, no matter what, to no matter who. And so that's how I came to be a part of BCM. That's why it's important to me, is because that's really where I began to grow. And from there, I was able to serve as a missionary overseas, and then I went to seminary in North Carolina, came back and married my wife that's also from this area. And just a few years after that, started here at the BCM at NSU. It's like a dream come true to be able to serve those in a similar way that the BCM director served me and introduced me to what it means to follow Christ with everything that you have.
Okay, my name is Ronnie Payne. I've been married to my wife of 38 years, Marion. We met on the campus at the BCM at University of Central State in 1979. We have four children, 10 grandchildren, and I've been in BCM work for 30 years this year. BCM was very influential. Back then it was called BSU. It was very influential in my life, discipling me. Charles Lillard was the BCM director at UCO back in those days. And so it was there that, even though I was a Christian, I had not been discipled. And so it helped disciple me. It helps give me vision to see that God could use me in ministry. And so after in my senior year of college, I felt God calling me into ministry. I went to Southwestern Seminary and finished an MDiv degree there, and served in a church in South Texas, and then came back to Oklahoma because I really felt called to student ministry. And so that's where things began for me.
Well, you know, BCM, I share your testimony, Ronnie. I went to UCO BCM when I first started. It was Central State University. And then I hung around. I liked BCM and college so much. I made it, I crammed 4 years into nine, and they changed the name of the school. So I knew it was time to leave. it's time to go. No, but BCM was such an important part of the life of so many people. We recently did a survey of Oklahoma missionary serving with the International Mission Board. And as they gave their responses, you know, besides me going on a mission trip and meeting a missionary, which usually also happened because of a BCM, BCM and Falls Creek were the two biggest reasons people attributed, you know, their involvement with BCM and their discerning their calling to missions. I alluded to that I went to BSU a long time ago, and a lot has changed. And so if someone's listening, kind of help us understand, how has BCM changed over the years? And what are some things that, you know, they would notice if they had, were involved in BSU and now see BCM? What are some ways that BCM has changed? I'll let you take that one, Ronnie.
Well, I'm not sure exactly how to start off and answer that. I would say that BCM is still having a tremendous impact in the lives of students. We probably have become more, we have more ability maybe to be missional overseas and on a lot of different types of missions projects now than when I was in college. And so I think that would be one way that it has changed. The other thing that I think has changed a little bit is the type of student that we minister to, or at least the background of students today. They come from a wider variety. They come from all different types of church backgrounds or religious backgrounds, and many of them no church background at all. And then I think also they come from more difficult home life than maybe in years past when I was a BCM student.
So how is the ministry structured there, Bryce? When people, like if people were to get involved, what are the kinds of things you're doing these days?
Well, we try to make it as easy as possible for students to come and be a part of the BCM ministry, the BCM family. We've got several different ministry teams that we try to work with and equip. That includes our campus ministry team, where their role is to simply be an influence on campus with the gospel, building relationships, using what we call our sphere of influence, our oikos, everybody that we're around, our classrooms. And so the on-campus ministry team, that we have an off-campus ministry team as well as a serve team. And so that'll be going out and doing, simply sharing the gospel in the community. And then the serve part of that would be whatever people need in the community, whether that's raking leaves, putting lights up on the houses, getting ready for this time of year, whatever that may be. We have that sort of team. We have a tech team, social media team. They can get plugged in with that, which is amazing, the amount of talents that these students coming in have to be able to get information out via social media and using all of their skills for that. I have a worship team, and we have what is really the kind of the foundation of our ministry called our multiply team, where people that lead small groups, but they're small groups with a purpose, so to speak. And so their job is to not reach people that are already plugged into the ministry or plugged into another church, but to reach people that aren't plugged in anywhere and reach them with the gospel of Christ. And we also have what we impact, a worship service on Monday nights, and we have FAT Tuesdays, which is for freshmen and transfer students, on Tuesday nights. So we've got all sorts of different ways that students can come and get plugged in, from free meals to hanging out to serving to sharing the gospel to leading worship to even preaching and teaching as a part of the BCM or even in other churches as well if they need that.
You know, one of the aspects of BCM ministry, I remember in my days, there was the conversation that BCM, you know, it sometimes competes with the church, and I found that's not entirely accurate. I was wondering, Ronnie, could you talk a bit about ways that BCMs partner with churches, and then if a church is near a BCM campus, how can they plug in?
Well, I think that's a benefit of BCM for our churches. We work with three associations up in this part of the state, that we have churches out of each of those three associations who serve noonday meals. 17 churches from across those three associations are involved in some way. We also have about three local churches in the area that students attend on Sundays and Sunday nights. So those are things that are big benefits. Then the other things, we take our worship team to do youth rallies and see you at the polls. We took a team 2 hours away to Shattuck over on the Texas-Oklahoma line or border over there and did a fall festival for their kids, trying to kind of jumpstart an Awanus program for them, Wednesday night type of program. So the benefits are that, you know, college students are very able to relate to both adults and to youth and kids. And so it helps us to have a variety of ways we can go and help support those churches at whatever point of need they have.
Can y'all talk about how BCM has been, how it impacts students, like some stories of where you've seen the Lord really touching a student and bringing about transformation in their lives?
There's one student, and I'll call him by name. He's given me permission to use his name, but one student by the name of Ben Hutto. He's a transfer student from Northwest Arkansas Community College, and just a very typical country boy, loves to hunt, loves to fish. He walked in, we had this big kind of opening day event at BCM whenever school started about 2 years ago. And he came in, didn't have a walk with the Lord, didn't have a relationship with the Lord. But I was told, I got a message from somebody, hey, reach out to this guy, it'd be good for you to meet him. So I walked up, I seen him, I walked up to him, introduced myself, and we became pretty good friends pretty quickly. But it was about 2 months into the school semester, he ended up surrendering his life to Christ, just being able to invest in him on an almost daily basis. And what's crazy is that's just where it kind of gets started, how the Lord uses this one individual as an example of others as well. But in the last 2 years, I've seen him grow in his walk with Christ, not only here at the BCM, but he gets plugged in as a local churches and just falls in love with his family that is there. And just this semester, he graduates in December. But just to skip a couple semesters of some amazing things that the Lord's done through him. But this semester, he started hosting what he calls Omelet Thursdays. Every morning, he will get up. He lives here at the BCM, have a little apartment here. He has Omelet Thursdays where he gets up sometimes 6 a.m., 6:30 a.m., and he makes omelets for any guys that want to come in and just hang out, talk, study the word, or just whatever they want. And through that simple ministry, there's been four young men that's given their life to Christ this semester, where normally it's pretty scary to go to different places. Everybody's scared, what I call the state of weird during this pandemic. And he's inviting some people in, he's cooking a meal for them, and he's sharing the gospel with them. And it's just amazing to see that the Lord is already impressed upon his heart to wanting to do to serve in the local church whenever he goes back home to Northwest Arkansas, and just discipling others that want to make disciples. So that's just one example of how this ministry has impacted one individual.
For me, I would say part of the impact that you see is students developing into leaders that can then share their faith with others, their suite mates on some of the athletic teams and things. We're fairly isolated up in this part of Oklahoma, and so sometimes it's difficult to have speakers come in for every Thursday night worship that we do. And so it's given us an opportunity to allow some of these upperclassmen, these juniors and seniors, to share their testimony or share a devotion. And our last worship night, we had some of those kids. It was a share night for those upperclassmen. In that, two of those that were saved earlier in the semester were very excited about being able to tell others about the change that Christ had worked in their life. And you could see and hear that excitement in their voices. And at the end of that service, we had others share too, some of those that had surrendered to special ministry or to gospel ministry. At the end of that service, one young lady came to the back as I told them it was time to kind of wind things down, but there would be an opportunity if anyone needed to respond, if Christ was speaking to them in that way. One young lady immediately came to the back, tears running down her face, and said, "I've grown up in church all of my life, but I've never had that joy and that excitement. And I realize tonight it's because I've never been saved. And can you tell me how I can be saved and trust Jesus Christ in my heart?" And so it was a real joy to do that. And then to hear from her pastor the next week that she had come down to ask about baptism and joining the church. So those are some of the ways that you see students impacting the lives of other students.
What are some ways that BCM disciples students?
So what I try to do is lead by example. So I try to meet with students one-on-one, one-on-two, as many that are willing to meet with me, but in hopes that they do the exact same thing. So if I meet with a student on Monday and we study through the Word, the goal is that they'll do that with somebody else on Tuesday. So if you're on one of our ministry teams or leadership teams here at the BCM, one of your jobs is that you're investing and discipling in somebody else that is on and around campus or the community. And so the question is, what are some ways that the BCM invests or disciples in students? Is that the goal that each student recognizes that they are to be a disciple that is discipling somebody else in hopes that that person will then disciple somebody else? And that's kind of ingrained in everything that we speak and do here at BCM.
We do what we call the peak discipleship training at our BCM, and that's as students kind of move toward graduation, they should be kind of moving from that basic level of being discipled to then being able to disciple someone else and then being able to lead out in some type of ministry assignment, whether it's to go and fill in at a church or speak at a FCA rally or something like that. And so in that, we do with these upperclassmen, I usually disciple a couple of young men. We have some others, young ladies, my wife, one of those connected with the ministry that'll disciple some of these upperclass girls, and then they will turn around and duplicate that with our one-on-one mentor times. We go through a book called Developing Kingdom Character, and that is an opportunity for them to just not only know the basics of the Christian faith, but also then to build those character qualities into their life that give them a good foundation to turn around and go serve, you know, in the workplace, in their church, in their family, and out in the world.
And now COVID has probably changed things for you. What are there some ways like that, even though COVID is definitely a bad thing, that it has turned out to be a surprising good thing for you?
So, like I said a little bit ago about using our sphere of influence, we call it using our oikos. It's really forced us to emphasize reaching our sphere of influence. And so it's definitely helped us in the fact that we have to reach those who we actually have that influence over, because most of the time, if we don't have influence, we don't see them on a daily basis, or we have to see them on a daily basis, we really don't have much influence on them in this state of weird. So really emphasizing oikos, sharing the gospel with them, discipling them, gathering with them, and inviting them to be a part of their local church. So it's really forced us to emphasize reaching our oikos.
For us, we have had to kind of adapt some of our opportunities for ministry. One of our big door type of opportunities we call noonday And we have churches that come in and serve a meal. And in the fall, we'll serve 170 to, I think the most we've ever had is 216 at a noonday time like that. But now we have done those outside. We've set up canopies and tables out on the basketball court outside of the building. And then we have kind of a rolling day that starts at 11:30 and goes until 12:45. So our numbers have dropped a little bit, but we've still been able to stay in contact with about 130 students each week in our noonday, time. And it keeps us connected to churches. It keeps churches connected to students, to that part of being missional to the campus. So those have been one thing that we've adapted, but we've not shelved that part of what we do to reach out to the campus. Then on the nighttime things, we have we've been able to mask up and still continue to do a Wednesday night Bible study and twice a month Thursday night worship. So those have been good opportunities, but we have done we haven't been able to get on campus. So we've tried to move some things outside. We've tried to do more small group stuff. We have what we call freshman survival, where some of our upperclassmen, lead a small group of freshmen every other week and talk to them about things to know and about how to survive their freshman year, how to stay plugged in with Christ and all of those kind of opportunities. So COVID has changed us being over on campus, but it has given maybe a broader opportunity for students to be on campus and do some small group stuff and just to kind of build some relationships in their suites and things like that. So it has had an impact, but we've tried to kind of work around that in spite of some of the restrictions.
How are BCMs funded?
We're funded through the local church. Without the local church, this BCM ministry does not exist. So that's exactly how it's funded, by First Baptist Church such and such, or Grace Baptist Church such and such. Without those churches, we do not exist.
Yeah, I would say the cooperative effort of Southern Baptist in our state has provided a tremendous support system for, the local directors on the campus that receive our salary support from the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. But then all of our program and building support comes from local churches that give financially, and then that give physically through providing meals and other outreach opportunities that we have, during the semester for them.
Yeah, BCM really is an extension of the local church and less of a parachurch organization that's like a sidebar. I looked it up in July through September of just this year, Oklahoma Baptist gave more than $180,000 just for that quarter toward BCM. They do that every quarter. And this a priority for Oklahoma Baptist is this next generation that you all are on the front lines of. Besides the financial support, could you help our listeners and viewers, if you're watching this on video, how can people be praying for the BCM ministry, the leaders, the students?
Yeah, so one way that always sticks out whenever somebody asks how we can pray for BCM, one way that you can pray specifically for our BCM, particularly up here at NSU, is pray for our students' mental health. During this time where everybody's went into quarantine, or some form of it in the last several months. I remember when we came back to do our planning for this fall semester, 2/3 of the students had been dealing with depression and even contemplated suicide at one point in time. So if you could be praying for our students that are here, for them to find their hope, to find their trust, and to find their real life in Christ alone, now that's one way. Another way to be able to pray is to see these campuses that are some of the most unreached places in our country be reached with the gospel of Christ. So those are two simple ways to be praying for BCM.
Here's the first way that I kind of thought about you gave us some of these questions, was to have folks pray that and ask God to give us vision and resources to reach the campus. Without the support of churches, you know, our extension onto the campus is not going to be as effective or to be as strong. So pray that God would continue to pour resources into our churches, even during this pandemic time. Pray for continued access to the campus by religious organizations. Some have really kind of been almost shut out of the campus, and we need to pray that God would push back that resistance so that the campus sees the benefit for the mental health and also for the social health of students that comes through BCM involvement. And then pray for a hunger in the hearts of students to know Jesus, that he might help them through the difficulties they're facing and to answer spiritual questions that they have about the gospel. I believe God is going to move in the hearts of college students. I think he already has. God does the impossible in the unusual, and I think we've seen that during this pandemic.
You know, there's so many things that are coming at young people these days. There's a huge cultural worldview shift from the Christian kids, and now a lot of these kids have never been exposed to the gospel in its, you know, real form, other than maybe what they pick up in popular culture. So thankful that you gentlemen are there, dedicated to this ministry as the front line for this next generation. Pray Oklahoma Baptist will support you in prayer as they continue to hold the line for you, hold the ropes financially, in all those other ways, and thankfully. The Lord uses your ministry to call people out. Well, we probably covered so much today that we probably have to save a little bit for the next BCM guys. We're going to have another podcast on this topic in a little bit here. But I wanted to thank you, Ronnie Payne and Bryce Stafford, for your ministry. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Chris, for letting me be here. And just thank you to all the local churches out there that have Oklahoma Baptist being a part of BCM ministry as well.
That's right.
And thank you for joining us. You can find more conversations like this on our website at baptistmessenger.com or search for Insight Podcast wherever you download podcasts.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. To subscribe, find us on Spotify, the iTunes Store, or your preferred podcast platform. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com today. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.